FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is March 18th, 2019. Well, we just came back from PDAC and very interesting developments in the industry, not all good for certain. We're going to get a good insight into what's happening very soon. But our good friend from Junior Miner Junkie, that's a miner with an E, David Earfley is with us now. And David, welcome as always. So we got some interesting developments in the junior sector, particularly the GDXJ and to some extent the GDX as well. What is going on here?
Yeah, it's interesting with what's going on with these big mergers. The mining industry trying to bring more generalist investor interest into the sector by creating these big mining companies. So now that Newmont and Barrick have kind of made friends and they've made this deal in Nevada, it looks like the Newmont Goldcorp merger will go through here in April. And I'm concerned a little about whatever Goldcorp has invested in, Newmont might divest, because that's really not their model, the strategic investment model. You know, they've already pulled out of that deal they made in the Yukon. And Goldcorp has made a lot of strategic investments and not only some development plays, but some early stage juniors as well. So that's kind of a worry as far as whatever Goldcorp has strategically invested in might get diverted. And also you've got the GDXJ. There was a strong rumor that they would be divesting all non-cash flowing entities from that index. So you recall back in June of 2017, they radically changed the fund when they brought in mid-tiers and majors for more liquidity for the fund. And once this happens, as a matter of fact, that Joe Mazumdar even brought it up is possibly happening in his presentation at PDAC. If this happens, then the GDXJ will no longer have any juniors in it. They have very few now. They'll have mid-tiers and majors, while the GDX has majors and royalty companies. So there really won't be a major index fund with juniors in it any longer.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for the junior sector? How does a company ever progress to greatness if the markets are totally tilted against you?
Well, I think it happens with M&A. I think you're going to see a lot more M&A. You're probably going to see some mid-tiers be created out of this divestment of Newmont entities. And Barrick has already said they were going to divest, I think it was $14 billion worth of assets. I mean, don't quote me on that. I heard that number bandied about from a few sources. I think you're going to see a lot more consolidation in the sector.
Interesting. So maybe a new company is going to be born out of the ashes, the leftovers mm-hmm. of Goldcorp and all of these things that get divested. Any companies you see or can think of in particular who are poised to pick up the valuable pieces, the ones that are the most promising?
Well, there are a few companies that I really like in the space that one of my favorite subsectors in the space right now is sub 500 million market cap growth oriented producers who are on the path to becoming mid-tiers. One that I really like that I've talked about before is Teranga Gold. They have their flagship project in Senegal. Sabodala mine is got a lot of reserves, and But basically what they did was they took over a Burkina Faso entity, and they have two really good projects in Burkina Faso. One's about that is fully funded to production, and it will be producing, I think, in Q4 of this year. It's ahead of schedule and it's under budget, I believe. And when I had a meeting with management at PDAC, we discussed them possibly looking into a U.S. big board listing. So that is a company that might pick up another project as well, although they told me they weren't looking right now because they're focused on what they have already. But that is one to watch as far as really being undervalued here at this level.
Yeah, you got to believe that some of these projects that Goldcorp has, a lot of them are marginal, but there's probably some gems thrown in there that they just don't really understand or know about.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's really going to be interesting how this is all going to play out because, you know, as you well know, Carrie, there's a lot of companies in the space that really should go away.
Yes.
There's a lot of chaff out there amongst all the weak kernels in mm-hmm. the sector. So, we really didn't lose that much during the last bear market. You know, most of these companies are still hanging around. So it's going to be interesting how this is all going to play out here.
Yes, for sure. And so what is the purpose of GDX and GDXJ now? I'm not sure. There's no real differentiation between them anymore, is there?
Yeah, I mean, just the differentiation that I mentioned. Basically, GDXJ being a mid-tier and a major ETF, and the GDX being a major and a royalty ETF.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the J should be changed to an M. GDXM.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, well, we're doing a online live investor summit for our client Sandstorm coming up tomorrow, actually. So I'm sure they'll be on the new GDXM or whatever you want to call it, right? They're probably going to be on there.
Well, yeah, well, they're more of a royalty and streaming company, but I'm not sure if they're in either of those indexes now already, but that would probably be one for the GDXJ. Yeah.
Yeah. It would sound like it would be appropriate for them for sure. So what other trends are we seeing, like noteworthy developments at PDAC?
Well, the trend that I noticed when I got back from, I wasn't able to really pay much attention to what was going on in the markets while I was at PDAC, because it's mm-hmm. you went there for the first time and you saw how crazy it can be. The trend of global stimulus from all these central banks, the growth is slowing, and we've got the ECB announcing more stimulus. You know, with what's going on there, I don't see them raising rates anytime soon, if at all, before the entire Eurozone may eventually collapse. And the Japanese central bank, they announced pretty much the same thing, that they're, they've been stimulating for years now. And the global slowdown in growth around the world has got, the Federal Reserve doing the same thing. They're pretty much the FOMC meeting is coming up here on Wednesday. I think the pause is already priced in, and what they announce as far as what they're going to do going forward is going to be paid attention to more closely. And I think the odds have risen to over 20% that they may even cut in December.
Really?
Yes. So this is all good for gold. I think there's really good support at 1280 in the gold price.
Yeah.
And If gold does eventually lose 1280, I think the strongest support is at 1250. I don't see that happening now with what's going on here, but you know, the gold market, it loves to be fickle.
Yes. Who's ever turning the dials, like, doesn't care about what we think, right?
Exactly. But, the GDXJ is still positively diverting from gold. It's in an uptrend. Hmm. You know, the GDX to gold ratio is trending upwards from that low hit. Ironically, on September 11th in 2018, I thought that was very ironic for a possible major low on the index. So we see that if we continue to see that trend up, if that trend's not broken, it looks good for the mining shares, although this recovery has been slow.
Well, we did see the golden cross, right? The 50-day crossing the 200-day moving average. And, you know, that isn't dispositive, but all these things that we see tend to improve the case for gold.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and I don't have to tell you, Carrie, about all the things that are going on in the world that we were discussing before we turned the record button on here. So there's a lot of things that I think will keep gold above 1250 an ounce.
Yeah,
I don't see it going any lower than that.
Well, it got nailed. It was like getting close to the 1350 to 1380 range. It got slammed yet again, but the way it was slammed is just really different than usual, because it went down under 1300 and then it rebounded over 1300. Haven't had a chance to look at the price, but I will look at it in a moment. But it was up a couple bucks today. They were like, but last night it was down $3.50. It's down 90 cents now. And a lot of it's got to do with Fed week, right?
Oh, yeah. You're not going to see much action until Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
When he comes out when the wizard comes out and tell us what he has to tell us what he sees in his crystal ball. So, it's consolidating those gains, you know, Carrie. We had, you know, that move was I think 4 months in a row, and it had a 15% move. You know, that those gains need to be consolidated. Tell you the truth, I would be a little worried if it kept going without a correction. Then the inevitable correction that would follow would be a lot stronger. So I think it's healthy to see consolidation here below that 1350 area. And I think it's just building up more fuel to go higher.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I tend to think you're right. The market appears to be behaving quite differently than it was just a short while ago. Upside reversals during the day, it hadn't happened in years. A lot of different types of patterns seem to be trying to assert themselves, and we're just going to have to see what happens here. So was there any company or any development at PDAC that really surprised the heck out of you that you totally weren't ready for?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimin Sakari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. form. To stay on top of Aeton's latest drill results and news, go to aetonresources.com. Aeton trades on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, I've my biggest goal at PDAC is to catch up on all the companies that I'm invested in for my subscribers and to hopefully see a few more. I really didn't see anything that I liked that I didn't know about, but there was a company that I met with that is one of my favorite exploration plays right now, and they're about to have some results coming out very soon in the Puno region of Peru, which is one of my favorite jurisdictions mm-hmm. right now. They're called Miramont Resources.
Oh, right. Yes.
And it took them a while to get their drill permits for their Cerro Hermoso project. But the meeting I had with Bill Pincus, the CEO, was very good. He was very happy about how the drill program went. He said it was the smoothest drill program he's ever been associated
really?
With. It came in under budget. He budgeted $180 per meter. It came in at $130.
Wow.
The project is 1 kilometer off the road. Mm-hmm. Although he couldn't divulge anything as far as how the results went, because the assays aren't out yet. He seems mm-hmm. to think that the drill program went pretty well and looking at the share price since PDAC, I think the market is expecting some good drill results. So we'll find out about that in about a week or two.
Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. And I've heard of that company before. Anything else that was noteworthy at the show?
Sure. I could tell you about another company that I really like right now. It's they're a developer explorer, and they're on the Cadillac Fault in Quebec. And they have a few projects. They're an interesting company. They're called Monarch Gold, and they have a producing mine that they purchased from Richmont when Alamos took them over, and they have a few projects that they're developing. One is a Brownsfield project, a Connor Gold project, and Wasamac is another project that they just put out a feasibility study on. That's a very interesting project. And they also have a few mills and one that they have cash flowing. So basically the cash flowing mill and the cash flow that they're generating out of their production at their Balfour mine is covering all their expenses. So they have $9 million in cash, and the market cap is really low, and they just the market cap's around $60 million, something like that, and they just went over to the TSE, so they have a listing on the Toronto Exchange. So that's a company to watch. I think they have some exciting things in the pipeline that might come to fruition here pretty soon.
Wow. Yeah, you never know what you're going to find at PDAC, right? Besides
right.
cold weather.
Right. And full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Miramont and Monarch Gold, and mm-hmm. I cover them in my newsletter.
Okay. Hey, that's fair. I don't own either, and I'll always mention, if people mention companies, whether I own shares or not, I don't own a lot of shares in a lot of companies, but enough that I will always disclose it and... You know, in the interest of transparency and just to know that I don't intend to buy these stocks prior to you hearing about them. Just so you know, that's the way we work it here. I'm not out to front run the audience ever. So, yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be a lot different at PDAC next March if what you're talking about really comes to fruition. I think we might see another major emerge from the ashes, from the tailings heap of Newmont, of Goldcorp, and of Barrick. I think there's going to be a fund that comes together, probably well-known names, puts together a lot of money, and picks the cream of the crop off of there. And you'll see a new, if not major, then a large-scale mid-tier that will quickly, or could quickly, if those projects get developed, turn into a major. Just my feeling here.
Right. I would tend to agree with you, Kerry. Yeah, that's not a crazy assumption.
Yeah, because, you know, when they decide what to get rid of, it's not necessarily that the ore isn't good, the grade isn't good, or whatever. They have their economic and political reasons and managerial reasons, like you said. If they're not into the Yukon, then they want out of there, and it could be a perfectly good project with good near-term potential, because so much of that land there is permitted already, and they just don't want to devote the managerial expertise and get distracted from what they consider their core projects. And other companies say,
Yukon is concerned. Yeah, it's a fabulous jurisdiction to work in. You know, you've got the First Nations on board, you've got the governments on board,
everybody.
But the structure and the seasonality, it takes a little longer for things to play out there. So some of these majors may not want to invest the time and the energy to do that.
Yeah, well, I think that we're going to see an uprooting of the industry. And it's not going to look like what it is now. These trends are too strong. Price has been down for too many years. Like you said, a lot of junky companies are still around that need to be disposed of. They need to be, have a hole dug and buried. But that'll come in its time. The market's good at that. Anyways, we are done here, David. So check out David's site, and it's Junior Miner, MINER Junkie, JUNKY.com. It's definitely worth reading. You get some great ideas there. You can subscribe and drop us a line if anything resonated with you to KL@KerryLutz.com, Twitter feed @KerryLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. If you are on YouTube or on a podcast channel, we urge you to please like, share, and subscribe. Really helps me a lot when you do that. Helps get the message out. You know, you just can't find this info on the mainstream media. They don't care about this stuff. They don't want to care about it. And they don't care whether you care about it or not. So, David, we'll see you again soon. As always, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kerry. Always great to talk to you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.